Coming up next on the Weekly Pass, we've got NBA Finals, Stanley Cup, and all things hockey here. We've got our great guest, Jim Fox here, former NHL player and color analyst for the LA Kings. All that and more coming up next.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Welcome back to the Weekly Pass. I'm Bonnie Jill Laughlin. Kings all the way.
Yeah,
right?
Beginning of the third period. Our special guest knows all about this song.
You know, it's nice that we have something different. Hockey. I love that we have a hockey.
Yeah.
You know, it's always NBA.
It's always NBA, and I am the hockey champion on this wonderful panel, and I'm so excited that we have the amazing Jim Fox, and we will be introducing him in just a moment, but there's just so much going on right now.
So much going on. You can catch us at BJL Weekly Pass and myself at BJ Laughlin on Twitter and at Bonnie Jo on Instagram and Facebook, and then Becky Sotero and David Bloom.
David H. Bloom, yeah, you know it.
That's right. Oh, my gosh. Let's dive into some NBA, you guys.
Yes. Can we please?
Well, first of all, I want to make sure that we send our condolences to the 49ers and Dwight Clark and his family. He was actually a very dear friend of mine, so I don't want to get too much into it. But it was a struggle he'd been dealing with ALS, and he finally lost that battle last night. So if you can, you know, maybe go and donate to ALS. It's a horrible disease. I'll leave that. But I got back from game one and two of the NBA Finals.
Yes, how was it?
Amazing.
Up in Oakland?
Probably, gosh, the best. You know, I've seen a lot of finals in my days covering, you know, the NBA and working for the Lakers. But this game one was just phenomenal. It was crazy. I don't know, Jim, if you watched it or, but that game one is probably the, you know, the craziest game one I've ever seen, with the controversial call at the end. Yep. J.R. Smith deciding he wants to, like, take a walk, or I don't know where he was going, maybe get some Hennessy. But it was a lot. There was so much. And the fact that the game was so close, where a lot of people did not think it was going to be that close of a game.
I mean, a free throw was the telling tale of this.
Well, George Hill needs to make, you know, there's a lot of things. He needs to make both
free throws. You got to hit your free throws.
Yeah. But still, I think JR's got the lowest basketball IQ in the NBA history.
Call a timeout, someone.
Well, and then the best part of it is that he says, I don't know why Coach Lou didn't call a timeout. You can call a timeout. Yeah. This is an AAU. Yeah.
But you know what? Guy's on the line. He's got one more to hit. You have to plan if he misses.
Thank you.
And if he misses and you do get the rebound, you've got call a timeout.
Yes.
Call a timeout. You're the coach. Yeah. You're the guy that doesn't have to worry about anything else than figuring that out. I think there's a little responsibility there, but
that's
made.
True. No, it's right.
Error.
Right.
Yeah. Exactly.
He should have made, you know, I don't know. I just, when he started dribbling crazy away from the basket, I was like, what is he doing? Yeah. No one knew what he was doing. The Warriors fans were like, oh, this is awesome. J.R. Smith just.
And LeBron's just sitting there watching it.
I knew exactly what was happening. Yeah. I mean, my mind is he thinks the game's over.
Right. Sure.
Trying to dribble it out. I mean, if they're up. Then
did you see LeBron's face?
Like,
I know he was ready. As everyone knows on this, you know, show, that I'm not a fan of LeBron James, and this is the first time where I felt really bad for
me
him.
Too.
He scores 51 points, still not enough, right? And does everything, and he still can't get a, you know,
This was a statement game for him. He was so strong, and yet to lose it in that moment.
And they had that game.
They had the game.
Regardless of the, you know, the call that they, you know, it was a block or charge, and, you know, it was still in the hands of the Cavs.
It was right there. And out of this series, I mean, it's only been two games, but what you can speculate over the years is that's, like, I mean, going last year, that's one of the closest the Cavs have ever come to actually having, like, a nice little place in this series. And it was just, like, I mean, you're right. You always got a plan for if that shot's missed.
Right.
Because you look, and funny, I know you've been to Oracle. They have scoreboards everywhere. When you're at the line and you're standing there, you look and say, okay, it's 107-107. There's about 5 seconds left. I can do this, do this. Then if you, on the off chance, you get the offensive rebound, you say, okay, we still have the timeout. I can call it. I can do that. It's just LeBron has one of the best basketball IQs I've ever seen in a player, which is
why. Well, that's the extremes. You see JR and then you see
I respect him LeBron. So much. But just, I feel so bad for the guy when he plays with people who can't level his IQ or even come close to it.
Well, that's been the story of the team, though, in general, is that he's been carrying this team. We know this. So. Right.
But he would think that his players are working with them, not
of course.
That's kind of the joke as well.
And he even asked, was there a timeout? I think he wasn't too happy with, you know, the coach as well. And I just, But there's just so much.
But the game itself was fun. I actually brought some guests, you know, that you actually got excited about.
I did. Jeremy Renner.
Jeremy Renner. And John Hamm. I actually facilitate them coming to the game because they're promoting their new movie, Tag. And
so good. I can't wait to see it.
Which is an adult, like, you know, adult
true
game
story.
Tag.
It's based on a true story,
right?
Too.
Yeah, true story. So they were there, kind of played some tag with some people and great. Enjoyed the game. And Jeremy's originally from Northern California, mm-hmm. so he's a fan of the Warriors. Yeah. And they had they were right on the, you know, on the floor.
LeBron
so had,
wanted to tag someone after that game. With
I know.
One of these.
Yes. I know. He kept his composure.
He did. I mean, he could have made a bigger scene than he did.
Because I'm going to be honest, yes. Jim, I would have. I think if I were him, I would have probably gone a little bit nuts. Not meaning
still,
to, but
it's
emotional.
It's the first game of the series, so you got to kind of yes. think ahead. The game's not over yet. You're going overtime. You still have a chance. But as you guys are saying, I think if everyone thought if the Cavs had any chance to win the series, you have to take advantage of every opportunity, and they let one go the other
way.
They
did. Right. And I think that loss, as we can tell from game two, was just so deflating. There was no way from
I mean, it was still closer than I expected. You know, I thought they were going to get blown out. But then as the quarters went on, you could see that it was, they didn't have anything, you know. And I'm not going to say LeBron is gassed out or anything, but, you know, I think he's getting a little, this is wearing on him now.
It's just,
mentally, I think.
Yeah, how do you
go
from one of your highest, I mean, 51 points in that first game? How do you.
And, you know, when Draymond took an elbow to his eye, that's why his eye's all bloodied, you know, and that's not getting any better. Not that that's, you know, at all limiting him, but it's still, it's there, and it's, you know, it's
okay,
not going
away. Okay, so what can be improved? I mean, we're going into game three. Everybody thinks that it's over. But
I mean, I definitely think the Cavs will play better at home, especially some of the supporting cast, because I know they do play better, you know, with JR hopefully not being as streaky, and Love and Korver contributing. But
they
at the same time, what we're hearing is that Iguodala probably will play game three. And I've always said if there's a starting five, you know, and Iggy's back in that lineup, they'll sweep, they'll take over. It won't even be a chance for the Cavs. So if that happens, I don't care if it's home away. The Warriors are going to take it. One thing about the Warriors that they have to do is they still are turning over the ball. They're playing sloppy, and they're not playing all four quarters strong. They're kind of playing sometimes. They're not motivated by the team they're playing, so they kind of play down to a level. And I think, you know, now with two games up, it's pretty much.
Well, I mean, they know they don't have to. They know, I mean, game one, they were caught sleeping a lot. Like, they got away with one. And you know when you get away with a win. I mean, a win's a win, but they got away with that one. But game two, they just know, okay, we don't have to play our full basketball for this Cavs team. We'll keep it in the first and second quarter. We'll break out in the third. We'll finish strong in the fourth. I mean, they play really sloppy, but it's just because they're not playing their full level of basketball because they just don't have to.
Right.
It's as simple as that. They just don't have to play that type
of
basketball.
They have too much offense, and they haven't figured out a way to score against, you know, the Warriors. Right. It's just not. I don't see it happening.
In hockey, we talk about like a hands player.
Yeah.
A guy with good hands.
Yeah.
Right.
Does anyone have a better, quicker release than Steph Curry?
No.
Catch and release.
He's the best three-point shooter we've seen.
By the time he gets it, by the time he releases it, he doesn't have to square up. He doesn't have to look. He knows exactly where he is. Get gone.
Well, look at that buzzer shot. He was off kilter. He like shot it from an angle.
That's probably the shots he takes pregame when he goes in the tunnel. It's like he just
amazing.
You know, it's like effortless too.
It is, and you cannot compete with. I mean, poor LeBron. It can't just be LeBron. It has to be an entire team against. You know,
right. And if
team.
They add Iggy back, you know, and replace Looney, it's all over.
Yeah.
That's dangerous.
It's going to be really tough for the Cavs. They're not going to have an answer for this.
No.
And
no.
I would like to, I did say Warriors in five because I did think that the Cavs were going to steal at least one.
Yep.
The Warriors would play down. Maybe that was the game one.
Yeah.
So, and I know the networks and the league want this to go longer for obvious reasons, the money, but it's not. I think this could be a sweep.
No. And I mean, you're right. Game one was what they needed. They had a little bit of that luck of the Warriors not playing to their full potential. And I just don't know how you come back from that. I mean, we'll talk about this when we get to hockey. Yeah. Hockey's a totally different thing. You can be three games down and win the series, as we've seen several times with the Kings. But
it's
basketball.
Tough. Very tough. And I talked to Teron Liu, who I'm friends with, who's the coach of the Cavs, and he just said, as a coach, that was probably the hardest game to have to deal with and to try to figure out what's next and to move forward and still try to motivate his team and not get on JR too much because, as we know, some of these players, if you get on them too much, not back in the day, I'm sure you know this, back in the day, you could say whatever. Coaches could get on these players. Now these guys are so soft. You say one little thing, now they're depressed and they're not going to be able to bounce back.
Yeah.
So he had to kind of still encourage him, even though he told Coach, hey, I thought we were up.
It's the theme of the game.
So
it's just the idea of just the softness now, and like like Draymond's getting in refs' faces, and like back him, like Joey Crawford, like he would have thrown throw out Tim Duncan for laughing. He would have thrown out
Joey
Draymond.
Crawford
was no joke.
Back
in the day,
quick.
Players needed the coach.
Yeah.
Now they don't need the coach anymore.
Exactly.
No, you're
the coach needs the players.
That's changed.
The big difference.
I don't like it.
No.
it's changed.
It's not changing again.
Yeah.
I don't think
it's
flipping.
Not. It's not.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, and I wasn't a fan either of the officiating in Game 2, and I don't know. I just think that everybody is just hand it to the Warriors. I mean, I think there were some unfair calls, but I'll leave it there.
And with J.R. Smith, I'll reiterate the fact that, you know, if he would have just owned it, that he made a mistake. The problem I have with him is like, no. I knew that you know, it was tied. Then it was like, no. I thought, and then it was, I blacked out. I wasn't really sure what happened. And that's why people are crucifying
him on
social
media. The blackout side.
Just say that you didn't know, but then don't try to blame the coach and then... You know,
I think
it was a lot.
I think there was a lot in that moment. He could have just been like, I was lost. You know, sometimes it's easier just to be like, I was lost in that moment and let it be.
I mean, we all make mistakes. I mean, sometimes mistakes are made in game one cost you the series. But still, you got to say, look, I made a mistake. I hope Cavs Nation can forgive me. I'm sorry. But it just, you look so dumb when you just say, I knew we were tied. Like, just own it, dude.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's it. Just focus on the game, own it, and try to be better.
Right.
That's what mistakes are.
In game two, Steph Curry hit an NBA's final record with 9 threes. And then I think 90 total as well.
That's just
crazy. As a fan, though, you have to just be like, this is amazing. Like, his skill level is just out of this world.
It's so amazing because, I mean, like, if basketball, of course, a great pass can make a better shot. But Steph Curry can catch that ball anywhere on his body quickly release it, put it in from anywhere. I mean, 30 feet, 1,000 feet from the parking lot. It does not matter. It's just amazing how little space he needs and just how much space he can create, too. Because it's one thing to just shoot over anyone. Like, I mean, KD can shoot over pretty much anyone. Mm-hmm. But you need space, definitely, as a guy who's the size of Steph. Mm-hmm. So he can just – he's got one of the most underrated dribble game. Like handles in the entire NBA. He can just create shots from anywhere. By himself, he can create shots, and that's just
one
of the reasons
the team
amazing.
Trusts his leadership, that you can tell that they're all behind him. And I think that LeBron, unfortunately, you know, he's been doing his best in the leadership department, but there's not enough skill against the Warriors, bottom line.
And when Steph is hot and Clay is hot, it's the Splash Brother. It's so fun to watch. And a lot of people have said they don't like Mark Jackson has said, I don't like that Steph Curry's brought back the three and that, you know, I like more the dynamic, you know, drive to the basket and dunks and so forth. I don't know what you think, Jim, but threes are, I mean, hitting the three and those outside shots are fun, but there's some people who say they don't like that game of basketball.
Yeah, well, what happens is now, you know, the analytics is taking over. So then, much like in hockey, so everyone's analyzing it and they're saying a lower three-point percentage is still better because you're over the course of time, that's one extra point. You break it down into numbers, and that's now coaches are coaching that way, and they're going to try to get that because
it's about points.
The data in front of them tells them that's what's going to in the long run is going to make it happen. It does take away from the old one-on-one matchups, get down low, grind
the
it out.
ISO,
It just kind of takes away from that.
It does. But some people, I don't know what your guys' thoughts are on that.
No, it's true. Yeah, it's so true. It's so true because, I mean, the three ball is just, it's been used so much as you've seen in the 2000s. And I mean, like the 90s basketball was such a different game.
Yeah.
Like
that's why it's so evolved and changed.
You can't compare Jordan and LeBron because LeBron plays in a much different era than Jordan. And I mean, you saw guys like Reggie Miller just a sharpshooter from there. And guys like, or little down the line, Ray Allen, who could just shoot it from anywhere. And that was sort of like the start to this three ball game where players were like, okay, well, now I can kind of incorporate the 3-point arc instead of just going through the hole every time. And that is also why, if you look at centers, they're the least valued player on the entire
court.
Now
the bigs have changed. It's not like
exactly
before you always wanted to make sure that you drafted a big and that would, you know, kind of take over your franchise.
Sure.
But then at the same time, you're seeing some of these guys, you know, who are trying to, who normally would drive to the bucket, who are now, I got to try to hit a three. Like a lot of the bigs are trying to shoot threes. I'm like, no, still play your game.
Right.
don't try to always hit these threes, because there's times where I'm like, Draymond, right. come on. Like, what yeah. was that? Like,
well, because girl. People are seeing what Steph is doing, and yeah. so it's like they need to match that level. And again, it comes down to numbers, and if he's sinking three after three after three, it yeah. makes the opponent play a lot harder at the twos and driving to the net. Mm-hmm. So.
Well, I mean, there's a game for bigs who can shoot threes, like Anthony Davis. He can drain one.
Well, right.
Kevin Love and
exactly.
Durant.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. And KD.
I mean,
yeah.
the same. I mean, these guys are huge, but yet, boom.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, with the spread-out offense that Golden State should have, because you got to respect the three-point, so you're going to draw people away from the basket. If you had a big boy in the middle, you'd have everything. But yeah. their big boys shoot from the outside,
yeah,
too.
Right. Exactly. So. And I mean, what, you got guys like JaVale yeah. McGee, but they don't need the center.
No, right. They don't.
That's, they don't. That's not how they play. They right. don't incorporate the center into their game.
Slows
play.
It
Isn't
down.
That crazy?
It slows it down.
Yep. It's more spread out for sure.
Mm-hmm. It is. Well, I mean, you can definitely see there was more focus and they were a little more efficient in game mm-hmm. two, the Warriors. So with that being said, moving on, I think this series is done.
I give the Cavs one. I'm going to just say I give them three.
I would like to see them win one.
I mean, tomorrow's going to be the game seven.
I just know if Iguodala is added, you know, I just think it's game over.
I'm with you. They have to win tomorrow. There's no
other recipe. So. I mean, basketball, it's never – oh, down 3-0? Yeah. Never been done.
Jim, what's your prediction for this series, even though we're two games in?
I thought five going in and – I still think five, and I think LeBron will find a way to win a game.
Not get swept.
He's already found a couple of ways to win games.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that's just going to happen. It seems more in basketball that the home court advantage, even like hockey is the only sport that actually has a rule that gives an advantage to the home team. You get the last change. You get to match your players mm-hmm. against the other team, the away team. So that's actually a rule. Basketball doesn't have any rules, really,
just the fans.
It's just that whole atmosphere that gets
going.
Well,
we talked about this, too. Basketball has a 65% rating for winning at
home,
and hockey is 55. So
well, right now, this year in the playoffs, the road team has won more in the NHL than the home team.
So good.
See, isn't that funny?
Exactly.
I love that, though.
I love that stat is changing, but last week we had a great conversation about that, about basketball being such an advantage at home. So, it'll be interesting.
And I know the Warriors fans would love it to go back to Oracle and have them celebrate on their floor in Game 5.
It's a
I'm not saying they're going to do anything, but I'm just saying that I think they would like it. But it's always, I mean, when I was at the Lakers, we always won on the road, and we loved it. We loved being on their court going, what's up, Celtics? You know, we liked it, but we'll see. But we've got Jim in the studio, which is so nice. Thank you so much for being
here. My pleasure. No,
and let's talk. Let's get right into Stanley Cup. Becky,
I
know that – I don't know now. I mean, I know for a while you were kind of pulling for the Caps, but now
– I'm probably you know, the thing about it is that for me, I just love good hockey. Everybody knows that. I love good hockey. I'll always be behind my Kings, but obviously I don't have that choice now. This is such an exceptional matchup because we have two teams that have never won the Cup. So no matter what, we're going to be cheering for something.
I love the story.
Yes, the history line behind both. Exactly. Mm-hmm. But yes, I thought Caps in seven. So I'm a little shocked that we are where we're at. However, after seeing what they did in game two, I just think that there's another level of playing. Ovi is composed. The team is stopping
the
in the neutral
zone.
The Caps
are so calm, cool, and collected. Like, you know, I remember for a while you had said you thought they may go in game one a little nervous.
Yeah.
You know, but they're up 3-1. Yeah. Jim, break it down. What's going on so far?
Well, I mean, going back to the last game, game four, the Washington Capitals are extremely fortunate. I think they were dominated in period number one, and they had a 3-0 lead after one period. They were dominant. I cannot imagine Vegas playing any better. Mm-hmm. Now, what happened was then the Caps capitalized on every single opportunity they had. They scored. So that says a lot about skill. I mean, to have the guys that will finish plays at the right time.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think it is a contrast in styles. I think Vegas still is that wild card team that plays a little bit different than most teams. Maybe just because they're in the first year and they can, in the back of the players' minds, they have less noise going on about if I make a mistake. You know, you get more experience, you start worrying, I can't do this because I've got to play it safer.
Sure.
Vegas doesn't play it safe. Sure. And that's what's great about them. They go. And they
nothing
go
to
hard.
Lose right
and they
now.
Go,
yeah.
And it's, the Caps, they seem to cool, composed. If they are off their game, they're not going to be rattled to the point where the other team takes over for a long period of time. But, you know, we're talking about the NBA series. I mean, game four, the last game, Caps, they won 6-2. But I can make the argument they didn't deserve to win the game.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just the empty nets, which, and, you know, we talk about luck. And I'm not a believer in luck. There's, you know, you've got to finish it. You've got skill. Maybe you're too nervous. Maybe there's too much pressure, whatever. But so that was the game, I thought.
Yeah, Gerard, you know, thought Vegas, they played their best game.
I thought they did. That, you know, and a coach has to sell to his players sure. that you played well. And on this one, there's a lot of times coaches will just try to keep that, keep the atmosphere light and positive, mm-hmm. and they're kind of selling it. This time, I think Gallant, all he has to do is show them the tape and say, guys, look at this. You played well.
At the press it's conference, there. He was it's like, right this is amazing.
There. They played well. But again, you know, that comparison between the NBA, mm-hmm. well, Cleveland lost that first game when it was right there. Mm-hmm. And Vegas played really well and didn't win. And in a seven-game series, I think you only get so
now,
many
Jim,
chances.
Can they come back? I mean, if they have this kind of a Cinderella story, this fairy tale journey, is this part of it? And can they come back and win this series?
I'm so cliche about it. I think, and I've talked about it before on the air, I think modern-day players are much – you're talking about the 03. Modern-day players are much more – prepared mentally to take it one game at a time. Mm-hmm. We've heard it but they actually, you know, sports psychologists, coaches now break down in a hockey game, they break it down into 5-minute segments. So you're only thinking about this segment at a time, at a time, at a time. So the smaller you break it down, you isolate things. So you're not thinking too far ahead, positively or negatively. You're just thinking about now. So that's why I think teams can come back. Again, the way Vegas played, I don't think there's any doubt in my mind that they can come back. I hope they don't. I'm hoping that Ovechkin gets his first Stanley Cup.
Right.
But I think they can come back, and they're going to isolate the one thing they did all year. Mm-hmm. They clean slate every game, whether it was good or bad, clean slate and go to the next one.
I'm just excited because I hope Ovechkin can finally get that monkey off his back
and win this.
You know? And is this the best you've seen him play and that he can ride off into the sunset, or do you think he would keep playing?
He's played better as an individual. But I think he's now fitting into a group of players, maybe for the first time in his career, where he's really seeing the bigger picture. Mm-hmm. I think he's had to grow into that because he was such a talented and just overwhelmingly, I mean, he's strong. This guy is a big man. Yeah. He's 6'3", he's about 235 for hockey, he shoots, he scores. But that's all they talked about. Now we're seeing him get back to what he did when he was a kid, which is coming and run guys over. If he's not scoring, he's hitting. Mm-hmm. He's doing something.
Everything.
But, you know, he's not the finisher that he once was. Having said that, he led the NHL in goals this year.
Yes.
Top 49 goals, so he's still there. It's maybe not talked about enough, or because it's kind of a negative, but he's from Russia. And I'm in all honesty, I believe, I don't know how many people admit it, that the North American media did not take to him as much as they would have if he was a North American-born player when he was leading the league and winning all these trophies and like this
year.
That's
so true.
I think that's kind of turned around. Mm-hmm. I think that's turned around now. I think now because he's 13, 14 years in, it's kind of like, hey, it's time now. Forget about where he's from.
Yeah.
And you know, he's willing
look
to.
Look at how he plays.
Yeah,
he's up there with even, he's one of the greats, and we never hear about him.
But
Sidney Crosby.
So many years, he was by far the best player on his team.
Sure.
He's not the best player on the team anymore.
Well, and they're playing such a team
Kuznetsov's a better
game.
Player.
Sure.
You know, and then Carlson back on the blue line. You could make the argument that where he slots in as far who has been the most effective, important player, third or fourth. So, but it doesn't matter. He's accepting
role
that.
Player.
That's what he can give right now.
Right. Yeah, and they're just connecting so much as a team. But one of my biggest questions for you is that Gerard had mentioned, on top of loving how they played, being confident about it, why didn't he pull Marc-Andre Fleury after being 3 down? And he supported so strongly leaving him in net. How do you feel about that?
It never crossed my mind. Mm-hmm. There are sometimes it does. There is a shock value for a coach to just change momentum. And what you do is you're just trying to lay guilt on the other guys.
Sure.
I don't think two of the first 3 goals, I think, were, again, I'm not a luck guy, but they were bounces where, you know, there weren't necessarily huge breakdowns by Vegas. It was just, you know, the Capitals keeping the puck alive. You know, one was a shot, goes off a stick, right onto a stick. You know, you can't predict those things. One goal against, the second goal of the game by Tom Wilson, that was a breakdown. Mm-hmm. One of the few breakdowns Vegas has had. It was not well defended. When I look at goaltenders, I always, first question in my mind, was the play well defended?
Mm-hmm.
If it wasn't, then I'm not going to blame the goalie. I don't think he is their aura.
He is
their being. And so I don't think you pull him. If you do, you talk to him first. Mm-hmm. And maybe you do that after the first period. You go into intermission. Sometimes coaches will do that. They won't even talk. They'll give a look to the goalie, and sometimes the goalie will give a look back, and you can kind of get that unsaid, okay, I'm ready to go if you need me to be put. But
well, and how much does the goaltender coach in that mix?
Yeah.
Is there a conversation there?
I think with a younger goaltender, mm-hmm. maybe. I think in a different circumstance early in the season where you're trying to maybe mm-hmm. teach a lesson or teach the team. You're not trying to teach anything right now. You're trying to win. You're in the mm-hmm. finals.
Yes.
You're trying to win right now. So the lessons are already learned.
Yeah.
There would be a lot of things. I think right there it's just – it never, ever crossed my mind.
No, and I love that. I love that he had his back. And we also know Marc-Andre Fleury's resume is mm-hmm. just impeccable. But we also know that from his Pittsburgh days, he does get in his head. So going into this next game, besides the, you know, 5 minutes at a time, if you will, what does he need to do?
First of all, I don't think Fleury is at the top of any list of worries. Mm-hmm. I'm not mm-hmm. worried whatsoever
sure.
about what he's going to do. I think he'll be right there, and I sounded Canadian. I think for the first time, Vegas is not as tight defensively. Mm. They've always been known for this team to score a lot of goals and up-tempo mm-hmm. and do that.
Their speed,
but
yeah.
when you play against them, you talk to coaches that play against them, they say they're really sound defensively. In the NHL, not many teams play a man-on-man as much as Vegas. That's their entire defensive system in their own zone. Mm-hmm. So when there is a breakdown, it's blatant. And if you take advantage of it. So I think Washington has been able to spend enough grinding time down low. You kind of set a pick here and there, mm-hmm. and you separate some guys. And all you're trying to do is create those switches. You know, in basketball, you get it all the time.
Oh,
you got
yeah.
a switch.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
you only have that one split second to make that decision. And in hockey, there's more ground to cover. So if you mix up on that switch, and yeah. especially in Game 4, I think there was a few switch situations yeah. where Vegas kind of got caught.
They clogged that neutral yep. zone. That was a big thing yep. in this game.
And they've been doing it. They're amazing. Their season, their story, what they've done. Mm. Gallant is the coach. Mm. You know, bringing together all these players to be as successful. It does start with Fleury. He's there. I'm not worried about him
sure.
at all. I think at some point we have to give the Capitals a little bit of credit here.
So and much credit.
It's tough because they weren't expected to be there. Certainly mm-hmm. not the underdog story mm-hmm. that Vegas would be. But they're kind of methodical, mm-hmm. more of a systematic step-by-step approach.
Sure.
And then the skill takes over. I think Vegas is on you, force you into mistakes, cuff up the puck, and they capitalize that way. So it's a nice contrast in styles.
Yeah.
By no means do I – if it ends in five, it ends in five, but I would not be surprised if it does not.
One more. Mm-hmm. One more to go.
And we do have one more. And, like, I mean, you know, you look at Ovi and those guys, especially Ovi, who's so hungry for that ring. I mean, a player of his caliber with what he hasn't done yet, I mean, I would be so – knowing how, like, hockey works and how the mindset of these teams being down 3-1, knowing they can. I mean, look at the Kings. Like, they've come back 3-0. What do you think the mindset of, like, the Capitals organization is right now, knowing they could just get there could be a comeback in the midst?
Some teams decide to actually talk about it. Some teams decide not to. And what they're talking about is this. Now it is right in front of you. Mm-hmm. Because when the series started, you knew you had to win four. Now you only have to win one. And that creates a mental issue unto itself. Now it's right there. So do you start changing the way you do things, which you don't want to do? So that's why some coaches will actually sit the team down and talk about it. Hey, guys, I know it's there, but here's the process. And the process is what we need to do. We'll get that thing later. Let's take care of the process. Some coaches don't even want to talk about it. They just say if they start talking about it, it puts it in the mind
yeah,
of the players.
In their head. Oh, sure.
So there's that. You know, coach knows his players and his personnel mm-hmm. better than anyone, so they can adjust that way. But the mindset is very difficult right now. They always say it's the toughest game to win, maybe because the team that's trailing is going to be more desperate, but also because your mind might tend to wander to the result mm-hmm. as opposed to the process
being
because
in the
it's right there.
Being in the
exactly.
Sure.
See, I mean,
sure.
you see it all the time in baseball. Never say a perfect game while it's going.
Yeah.
Of
yep,
course, you
uh-huh.
get into the
jinx.
Pitcher's head. Uh-huh. Never jinx it. And I mean, looking after this series, of course, you have the Caps, who I think with Ovi can be a force. I mean, against the Penguins, I think that's both going to be like mm-hmm. a series for the ages. But I mean, looking at the Knights, a team who had, I mean, last season they were, I mean, they weren't.
Yes.
Exactly. As a team who drafted this year and drafted sort of in this win-now mode, which has worked very well, how do you see them going into the next couple seasons?
That's a great – it's a great question. I think at the All-Star break this year, they made the decision to keep going for it because
mm-hmm. yeah.
I think they drafted at least three players knowing that they would trade them at the trade deadline this year.
Yeah, no, of course.
They knew that. Veteran guys that other teams would be interested in as a playoff pickup. Well, they got to the All-Star break and said, you know, we're in the top of the Pacific. We're second place in the Western.
Yeah.
We're gonna, right. So they made that decision. They got then they get to the trade deadline. They don't sell. They add. So they added a couple guys. I do think they will let two or three older guys go or sell them off if they still have the rights to those guys. Some guys will be free agents, so they won't have that decision. But I think they will still be thinking more long-term than they will. Now, there's two players out there on the free agent market, and Vegas is in a great position because salary cap-wise, they have a bunch of money to spend.
Oh, of course, yeah.
Sure.
Carlson, the defenseman in Ottawa, unrestricted free agent. If he decides that he wants to go there, then that is a cornerstone player you build around to win now. Mm-hmm. And then John Tavares out of the New York Islanders. Centerman, unrestricted free agent. Yeah. I haven't really broken it down, but I think that Vegas has enough room under the cap to sign two max contracts with those guys. Yeah. Just max them out. So if they happen to do that, then they're putting themselves, now they will not be an underdog. They would be right there. And there's a lot of teams that can't sign those other guys because they're capped
mm-hmm.
out.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
So they can't do it. So there's probably, you know, I haven't broken down the teams, but there's probably 10 teams that can do it out of 31, as opposed to 31 of 31. Right, there's only right. 10 that can go after those guys. If one or both of those guys end up in Vegas, then what I was talking about of selling off will not happen. They're going to go for it again.
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, that's just – and we're talking about a team that's in the Stanley Cup final. You know, I mean, yeah. they just – it's so funny because I feel like the fans and the organization just got spoiled rotten because the first yeah. year they just start off, you know –
to me, to say this is giving a lot of respect to Vegas for this reason.
Yeah.
If you're Carlson and you're a veteran player, why would you go to a team in only its second year of existence? Sure. You mm-hmm. know, if you're Tavares, you're a lifelong New York Islander. Why would you leave that to go to a team in only its second year? Well, Vegas has built this this atmosphere that everyone respects what they've done. Mm-hmm. So I think the players
trust
them.
Well, they can be franchise players,
go.
Too.
They can go, and they'll have a great team around them.
Sure.
Exactly.
Now, yeah. Jim, talk about TJ Oshie, like how phenomenal he has been playing. I mean, talk about being loose, calm, and collective. He was actually rode to the game in Game 3. Did you hear about this?
Yeah,
on the Metro.
Oh, yeah.
People were taking pictures of him saying good luck, and he was just like, hey. And I guess he had a security guy with him. But talk about being pretty, like, not on, you know, normal guys would not go on a Metro during the Stanley Cup Finals.
I'm going to talk about on the ice. I think it's the best I've seen him play ever.
Yeah.
I think that he's always been a highly touted player. He's always been highly skilled. He's energetic. He's always been physical. Mm. He now has the total package where he's involved at the right time, at the right play. Mm. I think there were times early in his career where he would get caught just trying to run guys through the boards. And, you know, the puck would be there, and he'd say, I'm going to run you because that's my style. I mean, and then there'd be times where he'd be too – now he's bringing everything
together. He's playing
together.
Incredible.
I think he – again, that's, you know, we're talking about Ovechkin. I think you might make the argument that even Oshie is above him. So now you're – you know, Ovi's moving down to 4 or 5 on the list, which is great. You have a 49-goal scorer, and he's your fourth most effective player. And that's why they're in the final, and one game away from winning.
So if the series was the end, was already over right now, who would you pick as your MVP?
Kuznetsov. Not a question. Yeah. His numbers are going to get him there anyway, but when you watch how much puck possession time he has, and he has something that very few players have, what I call a glide stride, meaning he doesn't have to be churning his legs, and he's still maintaining speed. So he's able to have an efficient skating style. So his entries into the zone and the amount of time he has the puck in a position where he can make a solid offensive play with it, that's probably top 5% of the league right there. And now he's executing that in the final. So, you know, his play is not dropping off. It's going up.
Sure.
And I think as maybe you could argue, as each series has gone along, he's gotten better. I saw that with Drew Doughty with the Kings and their two cup runs. He never won a Conn Smythe as the MVP, but as each series went along, Drew got better. And by the end, he was the best player. Yeah. So there's a lot of things that go into it. Goaltenders, I'm not a fan. Now, Fleury, if Vegas wins, he would probably win it. Mm-hmm. I'm not a fan of giving the goaltender the Conn Smythe because you can't win without good goaltending.
Right.
Can't.
Right.
Exactly.
So it's an automatic. So if you don't give me the automatic, so you've got to be so far above. And I think Fleury would be one of those guys that would be an exception to me, to my rule. That's only my rule because goalies are picked quite a bit as a Conn Smythe winner. But I think because of he brings belief to that team because he's got three Stanley Cups and they believe he can do it again.
Sure.
Jim, since we have you in studio, I have a funny question to ask you. You know, you've been with the Kings for so long, you know. What is some of the crazy stories you've heard what people have done with the Stanley Cup?
Oh, well, that's...
Just maybe one that you know. Like, I know Chris Chelios very well, so Chelly had some stories for me, but I'm sure you've got some great ones.
There's some really good ones that we can tell.
You probably can't tell. Okay. One that you can tell.
The PG 30.
Luke Robitaille and the staff, upper management of the Kings, in 14... went to, you know, I think it was the seventh game against San Jose. So you're down 0-3, you come back. And what they were doing in San Jose, they kept ordering these meatballs, to the suite. You know, the executives get a suite. They don't get to hang in the press box with me. And, they're wining and dining. So they ordered these meatballs.
Okay.
So it kept going. So it became kind of, so at the, when they, Luke had a party with the Stanley Cup at his house, and they were eating meatballs out of the Stanley Cup.
Oh, that's so good.
So it kind of took them through the playoffs till the end. You have it, and you got to keep doing it.
Do it, yeah.
It's great.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I have, on the topic of fun, let's keep going. So we're going to play This or That with
you. This or That.
Yes. So we're going to lighten the mood. I wanted to ask you all things Kings, but we're running out of time
here. Do I have to do fast?
Yes.
Okay.
No, not that fast. We have a little bit of time.
So I basically ask you a question, this or that, and then you pick. So are you ready? Here we go.
You should be scared, Jim.
I know, really scared. Mm-hmm. It's really personal.
It's pretty scary. It gets pretty scary.
Okay, here we go. Rock climbing or rock concert?
Rock concert. Mm-hmm. Definitely afraid of heights.
Mm. I like it. I like it.
Good to know. I'm afraid of open heights. Like, I'm okay if I'm, like, in a building or in a plane, but if I'm, like, on a roof.
A ledge.
No.
Or even someone standing beside a ledge. Right. Not me. I hate it.
Okay, next one. Steph Curry or chicken curry?
Steph Curry.
Thank you. Ding, ding, ding.
Taco Tuesday or delivery pizza Friday?
Taco Tuesday.
Good. Cruise control or lead foot?
Lead foot.
Pond hockey or pond fishing?
Hockey.
Of course.
Of course, always.
I know. I was wondering that about you. I mean, I knew pond hockey would be a given, but I just was curious. Handyman or hire a man?
Oh, no question. Hire a man.
I love it. I want to talk to your wife to hear more about that. And then Super Bowl or Olympics, if you were to attend
Olympics. I was here in 84, and I left town like everyone else because the traffic was going to be too crazy, and it was great. And I was living in Culver City at the time. Yeah. I was right there. I had a friend who was at Loyola Marymount doing the weightlifting from Canada, and I left if I ever had a chance, Olympics.
So good. Well, I think we will, right? 2024.
Yeah, mm-hmm. 24.
Yeah, it's coming.
Oh, my goodness. So that's This or That.
I want to ask Casey Wasserman. I'm going to put it out there if he ever hears about, he's running the whole thing. I want to work as a volunteer.
Ooh.
I'll be retired by then. And
all right. Oh, really?
Yeah.
All right. Well, Casey Washington. There. Here we go.
Wasserman.
Okay. Yeah, Casey Wasserman. And then we want to, what people don't know about you is that you own a wine label.
Yes.
So special. Talk about that. Where can people find it? Where can they buy it?
Did you bring some?
I did not bring any.
I know. Well, we're going to need some after tomorrow's game.
I've had Patinet out of the Stanley Cup, so that's one of the good stories.
Everybody can see the photos up on the chat right now as well.
So how did you get involved in this? Because that's not just something. I mean, obviously, you're probably a wine connoisseur and wanted to start
just after I retired, I started to get into it, local restaurants in Los Angeles, and then I liked it so much, I just said, I went to take classes, and I took classes. Then I went to, UC Davis, which is renowned for wine, and then I went and started traveling around the world. And then a friend of mine said, what would you like to do? I said, like to make a wine. And he said, why aren't you doing it? I said, well, I don't want the investment. And he said, well, here's the money. Amazing. So I said, thank you. Did it. Patinet. It's
there
French.
There it is, you with the Stanley Cup. Mm-hmm.
Yep. I love that picture.
French for
you
two.
You got the ring on, the ring cup. On. That's a great photo.
Patinet means it's past tense of skate. So to have skated.
So good.
Perfect name.
So good.
And the bottle's like to, so classy. I love it.
You know, we have a that band around the bottle has texture like a hockey puck. You see on the box, those
that
are skate
really...
lines in the ice.
Oh, Jim.
Now we
you took a lot of time into
now,
this.
There is. Now, we don't want it to be... We make Pinot Noir, which is considered probably the most elegant of grapes, but we make California Pinot Noir, so there's a power to it. So when we talked about, you know, the name and should we tie it with hockey, we thought, okay, what do you need more in hockey than anything else or in skating? You need balance. Well, if you do a little work into wine or a little, what you're looking for? You're looking for balance in all the components of wine to come together, acidity and alcohol and oak and fruit and all of these things have to come together, balance. So we said, well, it works together that way. Then we thought, you know, we make more of a bolder style, so hockey has more of a bolder type of thing, and we felt it would work. But single vineyard designate, meaning we have three vineyards we source fruit from. We don't blend them together. We bottle them separate, even though they're all Pinot Noir, same grape. They should provide different characteristics. We're a mailing list only, so it's direct to you. We're very small, limited production, small production.
You need to start selling in Staples.
I know.
It is at the Lexus Club.
Oh, it is.
A few places. Polo Lounge at the Beverly Hills Hotel sells it. We're in a lot of, not a lot, because we're very small and we want to keep control of what we're doing there. But website is where you can get it, Patine, P-A-T-I-N-E, sellers is in winesellers.com.
Great.
You can find out the entire story there, read about it, we're doing. My wife's involved. Our winemaker's name is Mike Smith, not the goaltender who plays for Calgary.
the jockey.
Yeah, going to win the Triple Crown. He's doing a great job for us. Dean Nusich, a friend of mine, is a partner. My wife, Susie, does more work than anyone else.
Sure.
So, but it's been highly acclaimed. It's been getting great scores from the critics. It's going very well. And if you like... if you love Pinot Noir, have it.
What is this picture from right here, Jim? Is that actually from...
You walking down the vineyard?
That's me, yeah. I'm in the vineyard. Last summer, my wife and I, Susie, we went for a full month through Crush. So we were there from August 15th through September 15th. So I was either in the vineyard or the winery or both every day for 30 days, working hand in hand with our winemaker. My goal is to be the winemaker at some point. You know, but mentoring under Mike right now is a great way to do it because I've taken the classes. But now you've got to get there and feel it. And it takes a while. You can't just jump into it.
No, but it's true entrepreneurship because your hands and literally feet are in it all.
Exactly.
You know?
there we go right there.
So I love it.
I have never done that. Have you done that?
I
want to do that.
I've heard it's like therapeutic. There's something
it's amazing. Like when you start right there, that is like cement.
Oh, really?
And it's freezing cold. The grapes are cold. It's so hard. It's so dense. 45 minutes later, you're up to your hips in juice.
Oh, wow.
But it's great for exfoliation of the skin.
Ooh. Let's do it, Becky.
Okay, we're going to do it.
My legs
were
so soft. It was great.
It looks fun, though, too. I always remember the Lucille Ball.
Yeah, exactly.
Her doing that. I've always wanted to do that.
But I thought, you know, hockey, and I 10 years, and I understand what hockey is so finite, meaning at the end of the night, there's a score. You know, win or loss. And that's the way it should be. You're getting paid. I'm getting something different than that. I mean, you do score wines, or critics score them, they give you a number, but there's more of the buildup. There is a part of the art, and people that know me, Becky would know, I'm kind of a black and white person most of the time. You know, pretty solid, rigid here and there. Wine, if I do have a gray area, that it brings that out in me. It brings out something where, yes, there is a process, there's a science, but there also is an art. There is a soul you can put into. There's a style. You can make decisions. You can, you know, just even picking Pinot Noir as the grape I wanted to make is something that, you know, it's something from inside you. So
it
brings
incredible.
A little bit more.
It sounds like you're getting another type of balance in life, which is what it's all about.
Yeah, and I'm probably one of the most imbalanced people out there. So
I doubt that.
Yes.
But, I mean, it's adding another
layer. It is,
to
and
you.
It's something I never experienced before. And probably not until we created Patina. Even the studying, you get to read about it, you get to feel it. But now when you get to be there and do it, that's...
So incredible. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I love the bottle.
The bottle's
great. The bottle's classy.
The packaging, everything,
We thought, we looked at it, we wanted classic. We wanted, I felt it looked like a tuxedo.
It really does. That's what I want to display the bottle.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very much. Well, and I mean, what a special thing that you got to drink it out of the cup. I mean, come on.
Yeah. After 12, we didn't because we released 2 years later.
Yeah.
We were able to drink our 12 out of the 14.
14.
So special.
So, Jim, where, again, can we find that? Mm-hmm.
PatineeCellars.com. So, okay. PatineeCellars.com. And, you know, we're Twitter, same thing, PatineeCellars.
Okay.
Facebook, PatineeCellars. Instagram, PatineeCellars. So.
Oh, perfect. We'll push that out,
We
too.
Will. Yeah, we'll add it on Thank Twitter you. No. and all of that. So.
That's, again, being well received.
Thank you for sharing that with us. And our live chat is loving it, too. So this is great.
Now, Jim, before we let you go, because we've got to wrap the show up, give us your predictions on
Stanley Cup Final. Wow. What's going to happen?
Next game's Thursday, correct?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think Vegas is going to win another game. Okay. And so then in the back of my mind, I'm saying, well, if they win the next game, then the pressure's all on Washington in game six. The pressure's all on Washington. I would say Washington in six.
Okay,
but
that's
I think Vegas has a. I think Vegas. I have a lot of respect for them, for what they. I don't want them to win. I want Vegas. Excuse me. I want Washington to win for Ovechkin.
I'm a little bit of scrooginess in me that I
know it's a great story, but for a person that's been around a team for a long period of time and they don't win, and then someone comes in, it just. I don't want to take away from it. It's just.
I get it.
But what George McPhee did as the GM and Gerard Gallant and then the players coming together is unparalleled ever in professional
sports. But they've already set that bar. Yes, like you said, this is now...
So we can kind of give them the booby prize.
They've already accomplished the Western Conference champions, if you will. But, I mean, the Stanley Cup
They're talented so, enough.
So
they
coveted.
Are talented enough to win. There's no
but this is the most coveted trophy in hockey.
And
it's got to go to the Caps. I mean, I was hoping Game 7, but I think it'll be 6 winning at home. That'll be kind of a fairy tale.
Anything special you guys are doing to watch the game?
Oh my gosh, I might actually meet some friends in the Bay. You know, just celebrate it along with every Kings fan.
I'm working Game 5 for NHL Radio, so I'll be in Vegas.
Oh,
yes,
nice. Outstanding. Where can we?
That's Westwood One Station. Oh, Google Westwood One Station.
Yep, we're familiar.
Around the country, you pick it up there. Sirius XM.
Right.
Perfect.
That too,
great.
So.
Oh, perfect.
Yep. Perfect.
Well, this is exciting.
Oh,
you know,
thank you.
Now
great.
We know kind of we got so much insight, which is nice to hear.
Yes,
you know,
thank
for me
you,
especially.
Jim. My goodness.
And now the Warriors play tomorrow.
Tomorrow night.
What are you guys doing for that? Are you going to watch that? Obviously, you're going to watch it. Where are you going to watch it?
Yeah, I'll watch it probably at home. I'm one of those that, like, if I'm not at the game, I have to watch it by myself because I can't have people in my ear, like, you know, jawing off and saying stuff. And, so I'll just kind of zone in and watch the game.
Yeah, I'll be sitting there in front of the TV asking JR to focus. Like,
there you go. I'm going to make fresh guacamole because that's been a tradition.
And then I leave for the Belmont on Friday to go see Mike, hopefully win the Triple Crown. So
we're rooting for him.
We're really pulling for him. He's a guest of the show and a good friend of mine.
Oh, he is.
And
so great. Yeah. I've met him once. Out at Santa Anita.
Have you?
We brought
okay.
the Stanley Cup there that day.
Oh, you did.
2014. And he came. He was racing that day. Won a race, came up, took some pictures with the cup. But, again, I have that connection with
so
winemaker Mike Smith and him.
It's, I know. It's funny when you said that. So
yeah, we had him on the show.
We're hoping. And he's going to come back in studio if he wins. And so we're hoping.
Have fun. That'll be exciting.
It's tough, but we'll hopefully
it's going to be tough.
Win that.
Yeah.
It's always tough. It's a mile
front
and a
runner,
half.
Right?
Yeah.
He always goes to the front for the longest race,
and it's a mile and a half, and it's a long journey that he's taken. But it's supposed to rain on that Saturday, which is crazy.
It'll be three in a row, right?
Justify knows how to run in that rain.
He loves to race in the rain, so I think it's kind of funny that it's supposed to rain in June. So the stars are all aligned.
Justify's like, bring it on. Yeah. I got it. I got
ready.
You.
So thank you so much again, Jim, for being here.
My pleasure. Thank you. It was great.
We're excited. And we'll be back here again next week.
Where can everybody find you, Jim, on Twitter?
Twitter, JimFox19.
Perfect.
Or, again, PatineCellars.
Love it. Love it.
I'm checking out that wine.
That's right.
So you'll see us again next week. Same time, same place. Until next time. See y'all.
Thanks, guys.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.